Folks, I'm going to share a wee bit now about the work of VISPA and Friends of VISPA. I'm also very conscious that I spoke at our own midweek about a month ago and was spoken at the First and Trinity at various meetings, so I hope I don't repeat myself or bore you, or we'll try and keep it fairly sort of succinct. But there's a girl, and her picture will appear on the screen in a while, Diane, her name is. About 5 years ago when we started having Bible studies at VISPA, she told me that before VISPA came along, all her family felt like, and the word she used was dirt. She said they felt as if they were so poor, they could afford nothing, and they felt unclean, and they didn't feel like human beings, and the word she used was dirt. And I didn't quite understand it, and she pointed to the soil. There's a lot of things in Kenya, when you hear them in this day and age, you have to honestly say, did you really hear that? Because the depth of poverty in this area of Kenya is hard to believe sometimes. But when you read the Bible again and certain passages in it, they come to life a wee bit more, because you realize what's in the Bible is very, it's not symbolic, it's actually true. And I'm going to take us to a few passages in Scripture tonight, which talk about God's heart for the poor, and those at the lowest of the poor. And the lowest in any of those countries in extreme poverty are the widows and the orphans. And VISPA works now with over about 700 children in Western Kenya. And most of them, about 600 of them, would be whole orphans or partial orphans, meaning that they live on about $1 a day to try and survive in a large family. If you would turn in your Bibles, please, first. And what I'm trying to do tonight is explain maybe what God's word says about the poor, but also what God's word says about the church, about us, how we are to react to the poor. And try and maybe we see VISPA now as, and VISPA and Friends of VISPA, it's one work, and we're one church, one people. And I'm looking around here and I see so many people that support children in VISPA here, throughout here. And I just want to thank you on their behalf, for every donation you give is changing their lives, and thank you for it. If we could turn to Luke chapter 3, verse 1. These are the words of John the Baptist. And if you think of Diane's words as a speak here, and you forget John the Baptist, the Lord said John the Baptist, there was nobody born finer from women than John the Baptist. And when you think John the Baptist is preaching here before the Lord came, before any body of Scripture, which is the New Testament, and he's taking on the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So this is the first time anybody's heard these words about a new people, that God's going to create a new people. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the ways of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And he said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. In Mark's gospel, you hear that who he's speaking to there is the Pharisees and Sadducees, coming with the might of the weight of history and tradition of the Jewish people. And John, who was an unlearned man that came out of the wilderness, tells them, out of these very stones, out of the dirt, the Lord will raise up people, children of Abraham. And the first thing, folks, that's us. We're children of the dirt. We were graciously brought into a relationship with Christ. We had no tradition. We had no history. We had no country. We are saved by grace. The Bible tells us our deeds are filthy rags. So we're born of the dirt, folks, but we're graciously saved. But those words are symbolic to us. For children in Kenya and Diane, those words are very real. And when they read that, they believe it. And what Helen, if you could flick that slide on, please, Johnny. What VISPA organizes is a school and an orphanage. And the school's there. But if you asked Helen, who's there with all her family, what did she teach the children? She would say, first of all, she teaches the children the way of holiness. She teaches the children hope. She teaches the children that by faith and being born again, they can be children of Abraham. I think it's a wonderful gospel because you take that gospel out into people that have nothing, and she gives it with so much richness. Education is necessary, but education comes secondary to teach them how to live holy lives. I was listening to Gareth there and Carl and the life of, and some of you have heard this before, Helen's life mirrors Kieran's very closely. Helen was a very devout Christian, worked in the bank in Kisumu. In the time of the HIV and AIDS crisis in that town, she was known as a Christian, a very fine lady. The work of VISPA started one breakfast time. A family of four, the eldest sister being 14, came to Helen's house and asked if they stay for breakfast because her mother had died through the HIV and AIDS crisis. They stayed for breakfast, they stayed for lunch, they stayed for dinner, and they didn't go home. Within about 6 months, there was 25 children that came to the home and didn't go home. Because it's hard to get across that there's absolutely no support structure there in that area of Kenya. Helen felt called by God then to do this ministry, and she left work. And George, who you'll see there, supported her. George just retired last year as a teacher. Helen carries a tremendous weight. All those children in that school, 700 or so of them, they'll call Helen Mama. She's really like a mother and father to them. When you're over, and I was just back there, the children come in with many types of problems. And the need can be very overwhelming at times because Helen will have a great love for each of those children in her heart, and you cannot cater for all their needs, for their needs are vast. There's one girl was in, and Helen asked me to come and meet her and talk to her. And this is a very common story. That girl had her mother and father died, and she went to live with a man who was not her uncle, but was claiming to be her uncle, for he's married her mother's sister again. That man tried to sleep with her. She had to flee the house and live rough for 2 or 3 weeks until another man took her in. That man's a good man, but Helen wasn't sure. Was she? And this is a girl of 16 who's at the school. So Helen brought her in and to try and get her into the dormitory, which you'll see in a minute or two. And she wanted to be in the dormitory because the dormitory gives them safety and a culture of education. Those are one-off problems. And Helen asked that girl, are you pregnant now? And she said she's not pregnant. But there's an awful lot of those teenage girls at that age get pregnant at 15, 16. And then there's a hopelessness comes about, and sometimes they're not, they don't see a future. And a lot of those girls at the high school run that risk. And a lot of the girls had children when they were quite young, and now they're living, and Helen would have them in doing some work in the school or paying for their further education. And I asked, why do some of them not get married, or not get married because they're in church and they're born again Christians? And she said that the anxiety those girls have so bad now that they maybe marry somebody that's HIV or marry somebody who will not look after their children properly. So they'll guard their children and they'll want to stay with Helen in the safety of that home because they're so uncertain. It's a funny thing, and I know maybe a lot of the women here will say, sure, we know that. And in those areas, it's the women who are the strength. A lot of the men aren't up to much, a lot of them. They'll disappear. They'll not take any commitment. They'll be frightened of it. It's the women in some of those communities and those schools that are the backbone and strength of them. And they're certainly the moral authority. So part of Friends of this, what we do with Helen is try and share that burden a bit with her, because it's an awful, overwhelming burden. And she knows she's called to it, but some days she calls and talks and she's just exasperated by everything. For you have hundreds of children continually with needs. If you flick it on, please, Johnny. That's a picture there of the high school and the new girls' dormitory, which was built behind it. VISPA organises, first of all, early development centres, which is a nursery when you're about 3 years old up to five, and there you're given a meal every day, and you're given basic medical care, and you're taught the gospel. The gospel is saturated everything that VISPA does, from the morning to evening, but Helen preaches the word and talks to the children about hope, but she's also a symbol of hope. And I'll share a few other people here shortly. The role models in VISPA, they need to see that the word of God is embodied in people. Do you know? And God We Trust is there, but they trust the word of God. They trust the people that believe in the word of God. So when they see Helen and George and others in the school, they see them as role models. They see them that this word is true, that the Lord is living in these people and giving hope. It's very hard to hope in some of these situations. That new girls' dormitory was opened this year, and there's now 44 girls in it, and I'll share something with you here, and 17 are going to go in it. But the high school, while that dorm was built, is the high school that's in front of it there. The girls were getting good grades up to final year, and they weren't getting grades enough to get to university. And it was meaning their careers were not developing. Partly that's due to safety issues. The girls would say in those countries, if you don't have a safe environment, you're very prone to sexual abuse. You're prone to attack. Sanitary issues each month mean you'll miss a week of school, and that'll lead to issues of self-confidence. The dormitory and the girls that are in it, there's just a great joy there because there's sanitation in the middle of it, and there's a safe environment for the girls to go into. I'll just flick that on, please, Johnny. I took some pictures of the girls in the dorms. Helen told me that the girls have to be taught how to make a bed. Those girls would never have slept in a bed. They'll have no idea. The curtains, Debbie, who's here, had a great idea when she was over about putting curtains in their rooms to make them nice and homely. And this isn't, none of this is criticism. They didn't know what to do with the curtains. You know, they put them around the wrong way. So the pattern was in, I'll get this wrong, but the pattern was in the outside, do you know? They just didn't know. And they didn't know, they wondered what they were for. Because Helen would have classes with them, and then they brought a matron in to teach them how to make the bed. But that dormitory is spotless, and the girls are so delighted with it. Flick it on there, please, Johnny. Flick it on, please. You'll see that box in the corner. All the girls are asked to bring to that dormitory is a blanket, a box with a padlock, an afternoon, not an, a weekend dress, okay? A weekend dress and cutlery, a plate and a spoon and a basin. That's all they have in the world, in that box. That box, and I ask if we open them, and if you flick it on, Johnny, just stop her there just one minute. You'll see that girl, Jinta, sitting down in that bed with the glasses. Jill, that goes out with us in the team, that girl's doing very well at school, but up to that point, to Jill Holmes' night last year, she had no glasses. She couldn't see the board, and she wasn't doing well at school. And people thought she wasn't bright. She's glasses now, and she's just alive. Flick around. That's those wee boxes. That's all they have. All their books, all their clothes, all their cutlery, everything they own is in those wee boxes. And that's 44 girls in that dormitory now, but there's 17 who we met on Friday couldn't come to the dorm because they hadn't a box of their own or a blanket of their own. And again, as I said, it's hard to just take that in this day and age because they share the blankets with their sisters at home. And I said, Helen, surely to goodness they would get money from somewhere to get a blanket and a box. And Helen would smile at times, well, there's no money. There's no money. Helen would say in that part of the world, if you have nothing, you have nothing. And if you have something, you have something. There's no in between. So the wee girls sat there and they got embarrassed. And the wee girls, the 17 that sat and shared that, would only share it when the other 44 weren't there. Because it's a hard society there too. They would be embarrassed saying that in front of the other 44. These are girls about 15, 16. They can't get a blanket because they're sharing it with their young sister at home. And one, two or three said that they had a box. And then they all laugh at this. You know, they have a good old laugh at this. They have one box for the whole family. And she said, if I took my box, my mother would be cross. You know, so. You see that when I say about the Bible becoming real. Later on in that passage of John the Baptist, when the people say to John the Baptist, what should we do to show that we've repented? What should we do? He didn't tell him to go to the temple. He didn't tell him to do a holy act. He said, if you have two tunics, give one tunic to the person that hasn't a tunic. Again, we treat that as symbolic. It's a symbol. Over there, it's not symbolic. That's an actual reading, an actual need. So would you please pray for that? That's the potential to change that whole society, that dormitory, but there's difficulties with it even because of trying to get those other girls in. And one or two girls coming in is not a difficulty, but that dormitory can house 300 girls. So would you just please pray that that would be people would respond to that and would help with that? Because those girls have the potential to get to college, potential to have careers, and it's awful when you see the deadness going out of their eyes at a certain age when they know they're not going to go forward, lacking a wee bit of confidence, bright enough, lacking a wee bit of confidence. Okay, thanks, Johnny. Just flick that on, please. That's another one of the wee boxes. They're even embarrassed opening their boxes, you know, but that's all they have. That's all they have. Okay, thanks, Johnny. This is a picture we take every year of the people that get to college. I'm just going to speak a minute or two about current challenges. Every year since the high school opened, there's been about 15 have got grades to go to university. About 15 get grades to go to college and polytechs and things, which is fantastic. Another 15 get grades to go to technical college. This year, and you saw there, I've shared this before, there's no girls in that picture, obviously, it's all men, and it's fantastic. It's fantastic those guys get to college, and it's very symbolic. And all those guys, and I'll talk a wee bit about this in a minute, are role models to those other children for they see hope. All those boys who have came from similar backgrounds where there's no money or no support structures. This year in the exams, this is why I go over, and we always talk about what children will get to college and how we'll structure it and how we'll structure fees and things. Only one child from VISPA got the grades to go to university. And I read it in the papers before I went over. The government in Kenya, either through deliberate neglect or just incompetence or deliberate act, that whole tribe, the Luo tribe where they would come from, they messed up their index numbers with their names and gave out their own marks to everybody. Usually when I go over there this time of year, I mandate it with about 30 fellas and girls. He'll share what courses you're going to do and we'll sit down with Helen and we'll work out a plan for them. They didn't even, and this is so strange for Kenya, they didn't even come this year because the only one of them got the grades, and Helen said, this, in her words, their stuffing has been knocked out of them because they can't resit those exams and they're left behind. Some would say it's incompetent, some would say it's a deliberate act to keep that whole group of people down, but it's an awful thing. I'm not going to talk a long time tonight, so don't be panicking. I have a watch here. There's no watch up there, but I have a watch here. But I want you to read this, because I think it's important. Psalm 82 on this one point. Psalm 82, this is the psalmist talking about God holding to account those that abuse the fatherless. Psalm 82. God God has taken his place in the divine council in the midst of the gods he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High. All of you shall, nevertheless, like men, you shall die like and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. Why it's so important those children trust and put their trust in God is that everything around them, everything else around them fails and abuses them. Like for those children to work hard all their life through primary school, through high school, to get grades that should get them to college, for them to fail them, those children now will just be quite, Helen will have to go around them all and try and encourage them back to, and they'll not be able to do the courses they intended to do, something maybe smaller, but something to keep them moving forward. Folks, that's when we ask about the church, what's the church's role? And the church's role for those young people, whenever governments fail them and are corrupt, the church's role is for us not to fail them, for us to believe the word of God, for them when they see this word of God and know that we're reading this word of God, that we don't fail them. We do not fail them. Just flick it on. For every time you go to Kenya, there's stuff like that that really is very annoying and devastating, to be honest. And then there's good news. There's two lads here I'm going to show, Philip Wambe here, who's been up through school. Philip is now teaching at VISPA. He's teaching the first years in the high school. Philip, in his own admission, would tell you he wasn't the brightest of students, but boy, he worked. He used to fail exams and resit them. Fail them and reset them. He's as proud as punch now for he graduated as a teacher. And he's teaching. And he came to me this week and he said that, I know why the Lord made me fail, because now I can encourage. And he said, the biggest need the children need now is encouragement. And he's so proud of himself because he came up the hard, but Philip had an awful, awful existence as a young child. But he's in now for VISPA, he's teaching at VISPA. He couldn't be more happier. Born again Christian. There's a lot of Christians in Kenya, or what we call Kenyan Christians. Helen, for the teachers, they're born again Christians. Philip will be a tremendous asset. He'll go around those children that failed those exams and he'll keep them at it. He'll encourage them. He'll keep them at it. Flick that on. This is another boy, Vincent. And I've mentioned this boy before. Vincent had finished. This is the boys' dormitory with the new beds in it. Vincent, some of the boys that have been out in the building team have got very close to Vincent over the years. Vincent quietly told me when it was over this year that he got saved this year. And Helen said it was a wonderful thing, for usually the boys get saved in groups over there. They'll come and they'll talk together, but Vincent came on his own. He's been a great encouragement to those lads who are not academic in nature, but he's been a great asset. And Vincent's maybe 19, 21, and the boys will know before 5-6 years ago, Vincent was very cross, sullen, angry man about poverty and about the needs he had. And Vincent saved. Helen tells me he's a changed man. He's a changed man about the school, a real encouragement. So there's always an up and there's always a down in Kenya. Flicker on there, please, Johnny. See, folks, what we try and keep doing, VISPA's a goal to try and reach 1,000 children by 2020. So that's about another 250 children. And that's only a drop in the ocean of the needs in that area. There's thousands and thousands of children who are destitute and needy without support. You know, God, folks, does not need us to do that work. That is God's work, but he lets us do it. He lets us do it. He lets us be part of it. I was reading this week about Ananias, who was called. Do you remember he was called to go when Saul was saved off the road to Damascus? Ananias was spoken to in his house in Straight Street when he was probably doing his quiet time. The Lord said, go to Saul's house, or go to that house in Straight Street, meet Saul. And you remember what Ananias said? Why me, you know? Why me? For he had heard of Saul. He had heard of the murderous man that Saul was. But the Lord said, you go and encourage him. Sometimes we have a habit of making those stories into almost like children's stories. Children's stories where there's no fear, there's no worry, there's no dread there. I'm sure that man went to meet Saul with dread. He didn't skip to it like a children's story. He was full of dread, I have no doubt, full of fear. But he knew the Lord asked him to go and do it. And he got out of his comfort zone and went and done it. He also heard the Lord's voice. He heard the Lord doing it and didn't push it away, and he was obedient to the Lord. And it's a wonderful story, that. And again, because you're out in Kenya a lot now, you read more things in the Bible than you used to read. You read that he encouraged Saul, and then what do you read? He gave him something to eat. And it's continual. You read the scriptures when the Lord, how concerned he was for the disciples and the people that came, give them something to eat. Do you remember the 5,000? Give them something to eat. Do you remember when he rose from the dead, he was waiting cooking fish for the apostles when they came back from the sea. Physical needs, folks, are always part of the Lord's ministry. Don't look down on them. You see, when you hear the needs of Asha and Vispa, don't look down on the physical ministry they have, because it's part of the gospel. It's no use without the gospel, but it is part of the gospel, folks. I was watching a thing this week on TV. I caught the last 5 minutes of it. It was a bit, I don't know if some of you saw it, and I hadn't been watching it. It was a bit, a program that 4 ex-members of the SAS took, I think, 30 people from the public that wanted to be the equivalent of the SAS. And they could put them in training and psychological and physical training to see who might be able to get to the SAS. And there was 4 in the final. I only saw the last 10 minutes less. And they were running up something that was like a mountain. And 4 of them, and the 4 leaders told them, listen, I want you to give at every stage of this last day 100%. Give 100%. And the 4 of them ran, and they started running up this mountain. And then they handed them each 2 tires. And they run up the mountain, and they said, just run to that point, you leave the tires down. They ran to that point, you left the tires down, and then they were handed each a big boulder to run. They ran to the top of the mountain, and they were told the first 2 would be the winners into the final. And the first 2 got there, and the 3rd man came, and the 4th one came. The 4 leaders went to the side and said, we're not going to take the 2nd one, because he's keeping too much in his tank, was the exact word. We're telling him to give 100%, and he keeps thinking we're going to do something later, and he's keeping something back. Whereas the 3rd one isn't as good, but he's given 100% each time. And their view was, folks, in a war situation, you keep nothing back, you give it all. And they actually said to the 2nd place, we're not putting you forward because you were keeping something back. And the 3rd place, who wasn't as good, they took. And that spoke to me, folks, from my life. You don't have to be great at anything. You just give your all to the Lord. And he asks you to give her all, but we have a habit. It's a self-built protection, self-built sin and selfishness to keep something back, you know. And whatever we keep back, folks, will be imperfect. It'll be us. Anything that's of us that we keep back in our own lives, it'll never satisfy us. You know, it'll frustrate us. It'll annoy us. The more we give to the Lord, folks, the more he will bless us. The more we take a chance, the more we give more, the more we go and visit somebody more, we go out of our comfort zone more, he will meet us there, folks. He will not disappoint us. He will meet us. The more we give, the more he will give us back. It's always been the case. We're talking about children of Abraham. The blessings of Abraham only came after he took the step out. After. They never came beforehand. But once he took the step and went through many trials, the Lord was faithful to his promise. You can see his promise here. In that picture, and you can see his promise here, folks. We're the descendants of Abraham. Praise God. You know, I'm finishing here with this, folks, but I forgot about this. I do believe in that place, and that there's a lot of people here have been over to this, but I do believe the presence of the Holy Spirit is there through prayer, and there's a wholesomeness, there's a warmth, there's a love. You know, Galatians 5 talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're all there: faithfulness, gentleness, no love. But in Kenya, folks, the opposite of those things are there too. And you'll read it in Galatians, and you don't need to look it up. I'll look it up here. It's in Galatians. You know, when the Lord talks about the sinful nature, you see the things that are present in Vispa: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things are present in that school, and they're evident, in the children and the teachers. But you see what's also evident in parts of Kenya. The things which Paul says are, if you're under the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, witchcraft. There's people when that school was being built sat out the front, witch doctors, and prayed for the destruction of those children in that school. And they were still there when we were there as a team the first year they were there. I forgot until somebody reminded me, when we were on that site before we bought it, I was standing in a pair of Wellington boots near bulrushes, and a black snake came out of the bulrushes, turned straight towards me, and I was standing in the group, came straight at me, and I didn't know what to do. I thought, I'll try and take a kick at that, and I thought, I'll slip on these waders or it'll got my leg or something, and I just literally stood. I didn't know what to do. I went between my legs and back into the bulrushes. And it was a bit of a daze, to be honest with you. And I treated that as a wee bit of a harmless joke. Helen said, that is something that they're not, that's not strange to them, being attacked like that. They would never take lightly, folks, the destruction which you can see in children. I remember there was an uncle who took children out of the school about 5 years ago, because he wanted the money that he was going to get through the inheritance of their land that they would get. And we saw those children, one of them was a great footballer, he was full of life and full of joy. We saw him a year later where he went to that uncle, and you wouldn't have recognized him. He was dirty, he looked angry, his eyes were dull. I've seen that in so many children out there, folks, and you know the only thing I can compare it to, you maybe don't remember, but years ago there was boys who were hooked on heroin in the village here. And they went from playing on the football team, and the heroin just sucked every ounce of goodness out of them. And I don't mean goodness in their character, but every bit of life out of them. Their eyes were just dull and dead. And it was Satan. And they knew it was Satan. The boys that were on heroin, when you mentioned Satan to them, it was the only thing they responded to. You see, poverty, folks, that extreme poverty in children, it sucks out every goodness out of them and replaces it with awful hardness, bitterness, a lack of life, a lack of imagination. Don't look down your nose, folks, on those that are helping those that are poor, because it's an awful sin. You know, it's caused by wickedness. And we as a church, folks, have to respond to that. You know, we have to respond to it. And God will meet us. God will meet us there. Anything you do for him, he will come and meet you and enrich your lives. We have a team going out in August, and we have some places on it. I need a couple of people that would be interested in coming teaching the Bible. We've started that last year, a dedicated Bible teaching team. And it's such a privilege, folks, for they'll open up to you. It's such a privilege to minister into their lives, share the word of God. I have two places I need filled for that. I don't want to go and not do that this year. If there's people here, don't think you're not able or fit, for you are. But you should see the rest of us. You know, you're able. You're able. If you're willing, you're able. Okay. Would you please pray about that? For I would hate to go over there and not have that this year. For it was a great success last year. Folks, I'm going to finish now, but I hope I recorded the girls. We take a picture here. This is the girls in the dormitory. And Ian McNeil's picture you can see here. Ian helped climb Kilimanjaro, and we painted it on the dormitory. He did. I hope we can play this. I asked the girls, would they sing? Put up loud, Johnny.
My only joy.
Father, I praise you for your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, no one will mock you, Lord, or no one will mock your word, and you will achieve your purpose. And Lord, you are the supreme holy God who have provided us a way to be saved, to be forgiven, to know you, to walk with you, to enjoy the benefits of knowing you each day. I pray, Lord, we would respond to your word, not to my feeble words, but to your word, Lord, and you would teach us how to live. Teach us to put all we have on the altar for you, that you would fill us and enrich our lives and give us a life full of meaning and purpose. I thank you for Carl and Gareth today, and I thank you for the work of Asha, and I pray you'd bless Kieran and Freddie and the work they do, and I pray for the team going out this year. I pray that you would richly bless them and be part of them and just dwell in them, Lord, and your Holy Spirit would go and achieve your purpose. And I pray, Lord, for Vispa and Helen and George, and I pray, Lord, for the team going out in August, and I pray there'd be somebody here, Lord, who might just take a step of faith, and that you would just enrich their lives, Lord, and may they be a blessing to children, Lord, who need a friendly face, need a warm heart, Lord, need encouragement, Lord. Just pray for Philip and Vincent as well, Lord, as they minister and as they live and work with the children out there. In Jesus' name, amen.